Will you save it or spend it?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Later today, President Obama will sign into law a package of economic stimulus. And one of the stimuli is a tax cut. The average citizen will get $400 in tax rebates this year and next. Now, the question is, what will you do with the money? Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Rather than a lump sum payment, the stimulus tax cut will be doled out paycheck by paycheck, an average of $8 less in withholding each week. Economists say people tend to save lump sums, while they tend to spend money doled out over time. Clint Stretch is an expert in tax policy with the consulting firm Deloitte. He says $8 a week adds up.
For each individual family, it might be a little more gas, or it might be going to the movies or something. But what it comes to is $116 billion over 2 years, and that's what's big enough to make a difference.
But not all economists agree that gradual payments trigger spending. Behavioral economist Dan Ariely favors a $400 lump sum.
If you give people the money and you make it feel like it's found money, that's the time that they're likely to spend money.
And to make people even more likely to spend the lump sum, Ariely says it should come in the form of a prepaid debit card rather than a rebate check they can stash in their savings account. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Today is the deadline for GM and Chrysler to present their restructuring plans to the government. If the car companies want more government loans, they've got to show they can cut costs and stay alive. House Republican Thaddeus McCotter of Michigan says whatever plan the automakers present today will not be pretty.
I expect that they'll show the reality that the painful restructuring process will continue and intensify for the auto industry, especially my constituents and the hardworking people of Southeast Michigan. And then we will have to see what the reaction to it is from the task force of President Obama.
The government's already loaned GM and Chrysler more than $13 billion, and the companies are scheduled to get another installment today. The question now is whether they will ask for even more. The companies have been in heated talks with both their unions and creditors. A United Auto Workers spokesperson has expressed doubt that labor concessions will be worked out by today's deadline. More selling overseas today. Hong Kong was off by almost 4%. Japan's Nikkei fell by 1.3%. Major European markets are down 1-2% at this hour. Last week was a tough one on Wall Street. The S&P 500 lost nearly 5% of its value. The Dow is now at its lowest level since November, 7,850.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton just finished day one of her trip to Japan, and what a day. Japan just got a new finance minister. The old one resigned after a weekend press conference where he was, let's say, confused. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Word problem. If a finance minister admits to drinking 3 or 4 gin and tonics on a plane, plus a little wine at lunch the next day, and then he slurs his way through a press conference with 6 other ministers, how much longer does he keep his job? Answer, 3 days. Shoichi Nakagawa quit today after his embarrassing performance in Rome Saturday. He blamed jet lag and cold medicine. Jeff Kingston teaches at Temple University in Tokyo.
Some people probably think that, well, the Japanese economy has been hammered so badly that maybe it's understandable. But you'd like to think that the second largest economy is in safe hands.
It's the latest setback for Prime Minister Taro Aso. Japan's economy is shrinking quickly because it's too export-dependent. And all this raises more questions about Aso's leadership. Secretary of State Clinton did meet with him today, but just in case things change, she spoke with the opposition, too. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And back in the States now, your average American beef cow is big, hefty. That's part of the idea. Cattle producers want the maximum beef for their buck. But an increasing number of ranchers and breeders think big is not so beautiful. They're turning to more diminutive breeds and saying smaller can be better. Reporter Megan Verlee visited a mini cattle auction in Denver and has the story.
The mini cattle here at the National Western Stock Show are perfect scale models of the mountains of meat in neighboring pens. The tallest is only chest high. An Australian breeding experiment created the mini Angus breed about a dozen years ago. Rancher Neil Efforts was the first to try them in the U.S.
Most people thought I was crazy.
Now Efforts is one of roughly 600 breeders nationwide. He can tick off the reasons Bessie's smaller siblings are a good investment. They eat less than regular cattle, they produce proportionally more beef, and they're an easy sell to health-conscious consumers. Mini cattle are often grass-fed and waistline-friendly.
We do see a lot of growth, and especially now, because of escalating costs and people trying to manage their ranches more efficiently, there's a real increased interest in these low-lying cattle.
All that, Effort says, is fueling a boom in mini cows.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the auction is underway. And start along and tell me what you bid for. I'm a 10,000.
Some of the cattle parading through this auction hall fetch more than their full-sized counterparts would. $12,000 for a breeding heifer impresses Lowell Genslinger, who raises standard Angus. But he's not impressed enough to buy.
Were you at all tempted?
No, not a bit.
Genslinger doesn't quite call mini cows a fad, but it's clear he thinks they're no threat to conventional cattle. Mini Angus owner Joe Nauer admits he needs a thick skin to shake off the teasing he gets from a friend with regular cattle.
He says, how's the midget cow farmers doing today? And so he kind of teases a little bit, but I don't mind. It's all in fun, you know. We just turn around and say, yeah, and we make more money off of ours than you do.
Like other miniature cattle fans at the stock show, Nauer is betting on the breed's popularity increasing. He hopes to use earnings from his herd to someday pay for his kids' college tuition. In Denver, I'm Megan Verlee for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a fine Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.